Greetings to another episode of the Warrior Mind Podcast. I'm Greg Swanson, your mental strength coach, guide, and mentor. To find out more about mental strength and warrior mind coaching and training, you can visit www.warriormindcoach.com and visit our blog at www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. And with me, I have the producer, Rishi. Rishi,
thanks,
how are you
Greg.
Doing today?
I'm doing really great. Thank you. What do we have in store today?
Well, as you know, on the blog, I've been talking a little bit about NLP training that I went to. And NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, for those out there not familiar with it. And thought that we could discuss maybe the content of it in that what it bases overall from a 20,000-foot view about NLP and some of the things that evolved about it. Because in looking at it, it's not old material. It's not new material. It's kind of a blend of everything. NLP has put it into a content where people can study it, but there's been a lot of individuals before this that used aspects of NLP. And there have been gentlemen, Gruner and Binder, I think, put it together in a format that can be studied. So I thought we'd discuss some of that.
Great. I'm totally looking forward to it.
Fantastic. So I kind of just changed some of the terminology around for some of my students that I'm working with. And there's four cornerstones of the communication model. And one we've talked about already, which is that perception is projection. And just to revisit that quickly, we have approximately 2 million bits of information going in front of us at any one time. And that's a lot for our consciousness to handle. And what we do is we pare that down to 126 bits of information that we can consciously use. And how we pare that down is through our filters. And our filters, we will generalize, delete, or distort the information. So by generalizing, deleting, or distorting information, we actually create our reality, and that's where this perception is projection comes from.
And that makes sense, because I'm looking at the carpet in this office right now. It's a gray carpet. If I was driving home and I'm thinking about the gray carpet in my office back 15 minutes ago, that would drive me nuts, which is why we do need to delete this information from us.
Exactly. And so when we get in this perception is projection, which then turns into a behavior, if you will. And how the behavior comes about is through three processes inside of us. One is our internal representation system, which is our visual, auditory, and NLP helps a lot with changing our internal representation. We all have a picture of something that we either experience or see. It may not be the same picture, but it may be symbolically a picture. And then there's the state, and the state is our feelings. There are emotions, our anger, happiness, sadness, and those are states. And then there's the physiology of the body itself, how you stand, how you sit, how you walk. So a person who feels confident is going to have a very confident state, and their body is going to sit in a certain way, and their internal representation system is going to portray that confidence. So by changing those three together, you can actually change behavior externally.
Now, if you change one, for instance, if you change the picture, will that change the other two?
Not necessarily. And that's what's really, really cool, is that the internal representative system uses, you know, NLP helps tremendous about with that. Your state, time empowerment, works very, very well in changing the state, changing the emotions and the feelings. And then my warrior fitness training helps change the physiology. It's when all three are combined is when the permanent change happens. You can get significant change out of the state and internal systems. But any one of them by themselves doesn't necessarily cascade to the next one. So working on all three is critical.
And we will be also discussing the physical part in a later podcast, and that will be happening very soon.
Absolutely, yes. The physical part, and that's kind of the fun part. That's people can really relate to that because of physically working. They see it, they feel it, and so just to continue up with this perception is projection. You know, it's through our values, our beliefs, our experiences, and even our quote knowledge is that we create our filters. And it's through these filters that we experience and actually create our reality. So one of the things that's important there is that the knowledge. Knowledge might not be wisdom, but it's knowledge of reading an article, watching a TV show, watching a news broadcast that helps define our filters. And so we have to ask ourselves, what do we want out of life? What do we want to look for? And you can find find arguments for both sides of any particular event or circumstance. And you have to ask yourself, what do you want? And focus on knowledge that supports that part. I'm not saying put your head in the sand, but if you continue to focus on what you don't want, you're going to continue getting what you don't want.
And that really, really sucks. But in reality, it's true. You read any book on law of attraction, they'll tell you if you want that shiny red car, but you're in a state of mind that you'll never get that shiny red car, you're only reinforcing yourself that you'll not get that car. And what will happen is you won't get the car.
Right.
But instead, what they teach you is if you badly want that new blazing red Corvette, you picture yourself driving in that Corvette with the top down, the wind blowing through your hair, and you have a nice girlfriend or boyfriend sitting in the passenger side next to you, and you're just enjoying the ride. And eventually what will happen, it will set the seed in your mind to think in a way, think positive, but also feel that good energy. You feel that energy, which is the same energy that will bring you that shiny new car. Of course, this is for a completely different topic because we're here talking about NLP, but somehow it is related.
It is absolutely, absolutely related, because a lot of NLP is used in the law of attraction, which now is a mainstream term, when before it used to be a very, very obscure term. But just before we move on to the next cornerstone, I really want to emphasize again this knowledge, because it really is applicable to health. If we want to have health and live healthy lives, yet we watch commercials and read stories about how we're not healthy and how a drug is going to cure us, we're setting ourselves up for a combat situation in our mind, because we want to live healthy, but we believe that we can't because of what doctors are saying. Now, I'm not saying don't go see doctors and take medicine. What I am saying is continue those processes and work on the knowledge that you can cure yourself. Bruce Lipton has a great book out there, The Biology of Belief, and talks about healing starts first with energy, not with pills or magic. And energy comes from higher consciousness, higher self, and then transmits down to your cells. So the knowledge, if we want to live healthy lives, we have to stop focusing on how much disease we have out there and start focusing on all the healthy assets we have for us. So that's kind of wraps up the perception is projection. And we're going to just, again, Rishi and I are going to go over a high-level discussion of these and kind of tease you a little bit to find out more by going to the website and participating in a group coaching call or getting a book or something to that nature. So the cornerstone number two, it's called empowerment. And this is really, I think, this one and number four are the absolute key essentials for any success, any health that you have in life. And empowerment is based on cause and effect. Cause equals it's your responsibility. Effect is your reason or your excuse for not having something done. And society, most of society these days is living on the effect side of this equation. That, oh, no, the economy is poor, the traffic's this, that, and everybody's blaming the circumstances around them for their results. When empowerment takes place, it says that you are responsible for your own results, for everything that happens. And it's not about who's at fault, but it's who's responsible. And there's a big difference there. And I think people get confused with being on cause and being responsible with blaming and fault. And we're not into a blaming game or a fault game. We're just talking about what responsibility we all have in our own results. And we have 100% responsibility. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And this is something I do want to talk more about, because I've lived and I've experienced so many people who are victim of the blame game, where people start pointing fingers at each other, saying, people are trying to deny their own responsibility by pointing fingers at those who get the blame. And if we can somehow educate and teach people a different module on how to be more not only responsible but also take charge of their own actions, which in a way is being responsible, it would also change the whole outlook in general. It would change the outlook in people's lives and people around us in the workplace, at home, family, everywhere, even in politics. Oh, definitely politics. Politicians definitely need to know this stuff, it seems.
Yeah, and the thing is, when a person looks at it as they are the captain of their ship, you know, they're the pilot of their plane or the driver of their own bus, then what they're saying is that somebody else is controlling them, that the bus is in somebody else's hand, which makes them powerless. I mean, we are powerful creatures, and we can do a lot in our life. And to point the finger at somebody else or some situation and say, this is why I'm not where I want to be, does little good to move forward and to move. And empowerment basically is using tools and techniques to move from the effects side of the equation to the cause side of the equation so that you can create the life that you want. And this is really, really, this is, you know, one of the fundamental parts of NLP is helping you understand how you can take control and move from the cause to the effect. Now, Rishi and I are very, very caring people, but we don't care about your excuses. We do care about your results. And that's what it comes down to.
We do care about your results. And also, you just can't sit back and wait things to happen. And then if something doesn't go your way because you were just sitting and you just stepped back and sat around for something to happen and it doesn't turn out to be what you expected, well, you really have no excuse to moan and groan about it. Instead, you got to do something. You got to, from the start, you just have to be part of the cause and not the effect.
Right. And before we move on, one of the easiest ways to start this shift in perspective is ask what learnings you have from a specific event. So instead of blaming somebody, even if it's as much damage as a car crash or you stub your toe getting out of bed or whatever it may be, instead of blaming the furniture or your wife or your husband for moving the furniture or somebody running a red light, that's the fault. That's looking at fault. What you can do, though, is ask, what's the learning from this? And when you start to ask yourself, what's the learning from that, underneath every situation that happens, good or bad, learnings will emerge, and will find out what those learnings are, and that's part of moving from effect to cause, because when you can learn something, then you can move on.
That sounds like good stuff.
Fantastic. So on number three is a very interesting part. It's they talk about the neurotransmitter, which is actually a chemical in the body. And this chemical is at one time was thought to be just in the brain. But through the studies of gentlemen like Deepak Chopra, Bruce Lipton and others, they found that these neurotransmitters are everywhere in your body. And this is where this mind-body connection is so, so important. Because as Deepak Chopra says, every cell in your body is bathed in your thoughts. So if you think about that for a few minutes, every cell, so if you're thinking thoughts of poverty, every cell in your body is being bathed in thoughts of poverty. What do you think you're going to manifest?
Poverty.
If every thought, if your thoughts are bathed in your cells, or if your cells are bathed in your thoughts and you start thinking of sickness and disease.
Yes. This is very chilling information.
And what's really amazing, amazing, amazing is that there are more neurological connections in the human body and brain than stars in the sky and sand in all the beaches of the world.
Wow. So let me ask you something. If there's a way to change one neurotransmitter, does it change at all?
By your thoughts. If the neurotransmitter is the chemical that surrounds your cells. So if your cells are bathed in your thoughts via the neurotransmitter, then by changing your thoughts, you actually change your body.
This is very interesting because I remember in biology class, biology 101, we learned that in the nucleus of the cell resides the DNA. For instance, now if your cells are connected to your thoughts and you change your thoughts, are you in a way changing the DNA that's in each nucleus of the cell?
Bruce Lipton talks about this. That's a great, great point. Bruce Lipton talks about this in The Biology of Belief. He took stem cells and he asked, how does a stem cell know what to turn into? Right? A stem cell is a stem cell. It turns into anything. How does it know what to turn into? And by doing some experiments, and he goes into this in great detail, it turns into what its environment is. If you take a stem cell and put it in cells of kidney cells, it turns into kidney cells. So the environment is what changes that around. Part of that environment, if we just go back to neurotransmitters and our thoughts bathe every cell, the environment starts with our thoughts. And Bruce Lipton's study confirms that energy is the first part of healing. So the thoughts go through the neurotransmitters around our cells. And this neurotransmitter really is a fascinating process to really get into, even just the healing part of it, because there's a Dr. Hammer in Germany back in the 90s who did a study with over 10,000 patients, cancer patients. And the short of it is that he took basically an MRI scan of the brain and found that there were dark spots in the brain that corresponded to the physical location of the cancer. Now, the brain didn't have cancer, the body had cancer, but the dark spots were representatory we'll just say inappropriate thoughts or non-supportive thoughts. Once he cleaned up the thoughts and the black spots went away, the cancer went away. And this is proven with over 10,000 patients that Dr. Hammer, H-A-M-E-R, did research on. There's other ones, like I said before, The Biology of the Belief, What the Bleep Do We Know, that goes into this very, very well. Michael Talbot in Holographic Universe. The Living Matrix is a great DVD that goes into this in more detail, and Deepak's book, Quantum Healing.
This is very fascinating stuff, and it's also surprising. These are MD doctors. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Some of them are MDs. Absolutely. Yep.
who've gone through medical school and who are in a position to make diagnoses. This is fascinating how they are sort of stepping into a different realm of healing that's outside of the conventional medical institution, yet they are part of the medical institution.
Yeah. Bruce Lipton is a doctor. He was a medical doctor, was performing surgeries and realized that things weren't working the way they should, and started to invest. Actually went out to disprove that energy thing, as he said, is around there. Deepak is a medical doctor, and Dr. Hammer is a medical doctor. So all these medical doctors are understanding, and this is where we go back into knowledge, right? The first part about perception is projection. These doctors focus on what they want to achieve, that is, living beings with good health, and they will read all the studies and all the information that support that. These doctors do that, and their patients have results according to that. Other doctors don't read that information and say that it doesn't matter, and their patients are experiencing cancer and early death. Mm-hmm. So watch out for the knowledge part of all of this.
Are we now to the next cornerstone?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to move on now to responsibility, and this kind of ties in very well with empowerment. But responsibility, are really, when it comes down to it, you are the only one responsible for your change and results. There's nobody else. You can't blame a teacher. You can't blame a guru. You can't blame anybody else. You are the only one who can who is responsible for the change, and it's through
damn,
and it's through the mental strength processes like NLP, hypnosis, time empowerment, where you can make those change happen easily and swiftly. And so that, you know, we could get into more about the responsibility part and these cornerstones, but I think what I'd like to do, Rishi, if it's okay with you, is jump on to basically the model of change. How does someone go about changing, and how does NLP and mental strength help somebody change? Would that be okay?
Sure. It reminds me of a joke. And
there was a man, a woman, and a goat, and they went into a bar.
Yeah. Similar. If anyone listening is Buddhist, and you might find it funny, you might find it offensive, but here goes anyway. I'm trying to remember what the joke is. Okay. What did the Buddha say to the homeless man when the homeless man asked him for change? He says, change comes from within. Very bad joke.
There was one with, I have one with everything on it. There was another Buddhist
joke. What did the Buddha say to the hot dog salesman?
Yeah, what?
Make me one with everything.
Right.
or there's another one. Now that we're on the subject, why don't Buddhists vacuum their corners?
Why?
Because they don't have attachments.
Okay, moving on. We've moved our studios, by the way, and you can tell by our fun energy here. We're up on a great floor overlooking the Santa Cruz Mountains and beautiful, beautiful sight here. Anyway, back to serious things. We're going to be talking about the model of change, and this is going to take a little bit less time than we did before, but the model of change works is you have to know your present state. And you have this old model of the world, and you have your present state, and through processes you want to go to the desired state or the new model of the world. And your old model of the world, or this present state, is configured by your values, your beliefs, your behaviors, your thoughts, your meta programs. There's a whole bunch of aspects that go into who you are right now. Basically, your whole life experience up to this point is determining who you are. And what's important to understand is, we've heard this over and over again, unless you change everything about what you're doing, you're going to, not just what you're doing, but what you are thinking, you're going to keep getting the same results. And that's basically been called insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we determine what the present state, your present state is, and then we kind of loosen that grip on reality, you know, kind of give you a blue pill. Or is it a red pill? I think it's a red pill. We give you this red pill to loosen up your model of reality. And it's through some reframing and some metaphors and some what we call different ways of questioning and language patterns that help you contemplate the reality of your reality. You know, is it really true? That was one of the great things of Byron Katie, the work. The first question was, is this true? And by shaking up that current view of your press of the model of your world, we're able then to affect change. If a person holds on to their current status so tightly, change can't happen. You know, you hold your fist closed, you're not going to be able to get inside. But you can open it up a little bit, then you can snap the pebble from my hand, grasshopper.
It may sound like scary stuff, and it is scary stuff because you don't know what you're stepping into. There might have feelings of doubt, but that's all part of it.
Yes, and that's when you come in to change that model of the world. So we've loosened it up now. We're going to go in and change it. And it's through NLP processes like time empowerment, reframing, anchoring, even hypnosis, and different types of strategies, and a really cool thing called parts integration, which I'm going to take a side note here. If you ever said to yourself, a part of me wants to do this, but a part of me doesn't, well, that's based on some belief that has happened a while ago, and you're having an internal conflict about it. Well, through some processes known as parts integration, a good NLP practitioner can help you bring those pieces together so there'll be no more conflict and you can move forward in the direction that you want instead of staying stagnant. So those are some of the ways that we change that model of the world. And it's with the presumption of knowing what you want. So you can't just say, I want to change. Well, change to what? I don't know. You have to kind of know. It's like going to the airport and going, I want to take a vacation. And they go, where do you want to go? I don't know. Right. Yeah.
So, where do you guys want to eat? What do you guys want for dinner?
I don't know.
Right.
Pizza, Chinese. I don't know. Whatever you want.
So you end up getting nothing. So part of this whole process model of change is one, knowing where you are, and two, knowing what you want, and it's not what you don't want. So we take a look at the present state. We shake that up a little bit, and then we go in there and with some screwdrivers and hammers and nails, and we create some change in the world. And then we get to the new desired state. But with any construction project, there are some nails and things hanging around. So we need to clean up the internal parts a little bit, and we go in there and do some alignment work, if you will, and some strategies and clean up and make sure everything's nice and clean inside the head.
Pretty much get all that crap hole that's still remaining out.
Exactly. With anything, like we said, with anything you do, it's you have some stuff that's left over, and you go through some processes one more time. And then just to make sure that everything's working, we do what's called a future pace. We ask you to think of some time in the future. If it happened in the past, how would you respond? It's pretty interesting because most of the time, once these changes take place, the individual can really sense how they would react to a future-paced one.
Is future-paced similar to timeline therapy?
Future-paced is projecting how you would act now after these changes in a future situation. So we've given you some changes. Rishi, I went in there, I shook everything up on you, and now I'm going to ask you to think. In 2 days, you're going to meet somebody who really pushes your buttons. How are you going to react now? And that's future pacing it. Time empowerment, like you mentioned, does do past pace and past release of negative emotions, but it also does future pace in perceiving a future event and setting goals in your future.
Wow.
So that's kind of what the nutshell of the two main big chunks of what I would call mental strength, NLP, time empowerment. Didn't get into any hypnosis in this particular case because that's a tool in change. It's not change itself. It's a tool that's used. It's like a hammer, a screwdriver, a saw. But all of those put into one toolkit can help a person reconstruct their entire life.
That's right. A hammer is not a house. It's just a tool to build a house.
Very good. I like that.
But
that sounds like a bumper sticker.
Yeah. If you want to be that house, you can. But you just need the right tools.
Yes. Very good. So I think that wraps it up for today.
Wonderful.
You think that's enough for our listeners today?
Yes. And we also have a really exciting announcement. Next week, we're going to have a new podcast, and it's going to be something we haven't done before. We're going to do a movie review.
Yeah, really looking forward to that. Really looking forward to it. The Inception is coming out, and
yes.
This is going to date, obviously, this podcast for those who listen to it in the future. And actually, you may be listening to it now, anyway, we're going to be doing some stuff about Inception because, one, it's about the mind, and Rishi and I find it fascinating at how a lot of this stuff really is true when it's put on cinema, but we'll talk about that and how you can apply that in your life and how it does help you in your life. So thank you for that announcement.
Yeah, this is something we're looking forward to. Just a warning for now, we have not seen the movie yet. So if our podcast turns out, if the movie turns out to be, let's just say, a piece of crap that has nothing to do with what we talked about in the past podcasts. It might happen. It might not. You never know.
But so anyway, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Just trying to keep you all up to date on what's going on and also the tools that are available to you to create change in your life. And again, to find out more about mental strength and warrior mind coaching and training, you can visit www.warriormindcoach.com. And please visit our blog. It's updated daily. And that's www.warriormindcoach.com/blog. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And if you don't take your rightful responsibility to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.